A new Republican-backed bill in Congress has the potential to upend our longstanding structure for the federal workforce, permanent nonpartisan civil servants. Called the Public Service Reform Act, its supporters say it's designed to increase accountability by removing current job security protections and making those servants fireable, civil servants fireable at will. Former President Trump in October of 2020 signed an executive order that had similar aims, which President Biden reversed when he came into office. Recent reporting by Axios shows that Trump and his supporters are preparing to resurrect that move and to create a new Schedule F division of federal workers who could be hand-chosen by the chief executive if Trump went back into office in 2025. You can join in at 800-642-1234. It's a little under the radar, but have you been watching this? What are your thoughts on the federal civil service, the bureaucracy? Do you think presidents should have more power to fire more people for more reasons, or do we need that kind of continuity and maybe invulnerability to political interference? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Don Kettle is Professor Emeritus and former Dean of the School of Public Policy at the University of Maryland and a non-resident senior fellow at the Brookings Institution. Formerly at UW-Madison, he chaired two blue ribbon commissions for the Wisconsin state government, one on campaign finance reform, another on government structure and finance. Don, welcome back to Wisconsin and to Central Time.
It's great to be with you and all my friends there in Wisconsin, Rob.
Let's set the stage here. This idea of this sort of civil service protection for federal employees goes back a long way. What are the origins of it?
It really goes way back to the 1880s, where President Garfield was assassinated by someone who actually was delusional to the point where he thought he had given a speech that had been responsible for winning the election for Garfield, which of course wasn't true, but because he was delusional, he thought that Garfield owed him a great federal job. He sort of thought that maybe the ambassadorship to France would be good, and so he came and kept asking and asking and asking and got no and no and no for answers. And he was so annoyed that he took a gun and shot Garfield at a train station in Washington and didn't kill Garfield at first. It turns out it was in the early days of modern medicine, and they didn't know enough about how to try to treat gunshot wounds. He got infected as a result and died a few weeks later. But as a result of that, Congress and the administration joined in the idea that they really needed to find ways of protecting federal government service from the people who simply thought that they ought to have jobs in terms of patronage. And one other thing that's important and interesting in this story is that Wisconsin itself was the center of a lot of this movement with Bob La Follette back at the early part of the last century. And he made a tremendous campaign to try to uproot patronage in Wisconsin and replace it with civil service. And so there's a broad national history, but also an important Wisconsin history to this as well.
People might look at this and say, this is kind of an obscure topic, not really a big deal if more federal employees can be hired or fired at will by a president. Make the case that this is a big deal.
It's a big deal in so many ways, but in so many ways that wouldn't really be obvious until problems ended up popping up. For example, back in the last administration, there was, as everybody probably remembers now, a hurricane heading for the Atlantic coast, and there were projections that the Weather Service had made about where it was going to go. And the president had, President Trump at that point, had stood up and said, well, you know, the people in Alabama are threatened by this. And it turned out that they weren't, but he was embarrassed by the fact that he had made such a strong public statement in favor of that. And so he went and grabbed a Sharpie and changed the map for the projection of where the storm was going to go. Well, for those of us living elsewhere, it was just sort of a weird kind of thing. People called it Sharpie Gate. But imagine that you're in a position of trying to decide, do I evacuate or not? Do I trust the evacuation orders or not? Will a political official put enough pressure on the people up above me that I'm going to change my forecast because they want to try to advance a certain particular aim or goal of some kind, or even avoid being embarrassed? If that's the case, am I going to trust the forecast that I'm getting? Am I going to evacuate? How large of an area should we evacuate? That's the sort of thing that could literally cost lives and could be the product of what happens if we remove professionalism from the way in which the public service operates.
Talking to Don Kettle from the University of Maryland and the Brookings Institution about federal employees, their current civil service protections, and a couple of efforts, one from former President Trump, who may be looking to be future President Trump, one from some Republicans in Congress to take away those protections. You can join in with your thoughts or questions at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Donna, I want to look at a couple different threads here. We talked to you before in October of 2020, then President Trump created a new group, a new designation of federal employees that would have allowed him to fire a lot more people if he had wanted. And now he's reportedly working with various groups to do that should he come back to office and come up with lists of loyal potential future employees. Can you talk about that change?
And that's something that's important in the background. And what's changed in the meantime is not only has the president embraced this and his loyalists and his group of Washington think tanks advancing it, but it's now a cause that's been taken up by a large number of Republicans, so that even if Trump is not elected, in fact, even if the Republicans take control of the Congress in the midterm elections this fall, it's very likely we're going to be looking at these issues right off the bat in January. And so these are some big issues that are out there. And the to be sure, a president who's elected certainly has the right to be able to advance the policies that he or she believes are important. After all, elections have to mean something, and that goes for Republicans and Democrats. But the problem is that we also expect that government's going to be administered competently. And there's a real trade-off back and forth between the issues of loyalty on one side and competence on the other. And when we push too hard on one, we end up giving up more of the other. And It's a fine balance that has to be made, but the importance of having competent federal employees for issues that are technical are things that we've seen over and over and over again being incredibly important to us.
Yeah, we've seen some Republicans introduce a bill called the Public Service Reform Act. What would this do?
And this is something actually that was introduced by Chip Roy, who represents us down in Austin, where I'm speaking to you from. And Roy's bill would make all federal employees at-will employees. That is, that they could be fired at will without cause. And what that would do then would make it a whole lot easier when new political officials come in to replace other officials who are existing who may not agree with their points of view. There already are about 4,000 positions in the federal government that new administrations can fill when they come in. Every administration has really struggled to even get those positions filled, but the number of positions that would be covered in Chip Roy's bill, the Civil Service Reform Act that he's talking about, could run into the tens of thousands, possibly as much as 100,000, because it would make every single federal employee potentially at will. The argument is that the private sector has an easier time firing poor performers. Government does not. There are too many protections, they argue. And so therefore, we ought to have a way to be able to make it easier to fire. But the problem is that we have issues of loyalty that often push aside the basic questions of competence. And there really isn't a Republican or a Democratic way to manage air traffic control coming into O'Hare or to take care of the people who are coming through airport security lines either as well. So it's that basic question of how to try to balance loyalty on the one side and competence on the other that really is at the core of this.
And Don, I think an argument from Republicans is the federal bureaucracy, the civil service jobs we're talking about, they say are dominated. They're basically a class that is more loyal to Democrats and that will foil the efforts to make changes by Republican presidents. They're saying, you know, we just need to clear the way so that a Republican president can implement an agenda. What do you think of that argument?
Yeah, the evidence on that is surprisingly murky. It turns out that there surely are Democrats who are in this career civil service and have political protections, but there are a fair number of Republicans as well. For example, the Border Patrol is heavily represented by people who have a Republican leaning. But on the other hand, there are departments like Health and Human Services where people tend to lean a little bit more toward the Democrats. So it's very difficult for reformers to make an argument that the civil service consists of one party or another. Really, it's a very different kind of animal in different places. But in a sense, people shouldn't have to give up their ability to be able to vote or to make political statements when they join a federal government or even a state or local government workforce. But at the same time, their responsibility is to try to do their jobs, to try to manage programs efficiently, and not to let those political judgments get in the way. So that the idea that we've got to sweep out a whole bunch of Democrats probably isn't true. It's true in some agencies, certainly not true in others. Democrats would make the same kind of argument that they have the problem of trying to sweep out people who are not loyal to them. The main issue that we have is having enough people who have the kind of political ear of the president and can follow his policies or her policies, while at the same time the bureaucracy is in charge of carrying them out, has the highest level of competence possible.
We're talking to Don Kettle, Professor Emeritus, former Dean of the School of Public Policy at the University of Maryland, formerly at UW-Madison as well, looking at some proposals to change the federal civil service efforts by President Trump in one instance, Republicans in Congress in another, to say, hey, a lot more federal employees can be hired and fired at will by the president. You could join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think about this? Have you been a federal employee at these levels? What was your experience like? Do you worry about these changes, what they could lead to, or do you think we need to do something to shake things up in this way? Call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up here on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Verrett. Right now, we're picking up our talk about the federal civil service with Don Kettle, Professor Emeritus, former Dean of the School of Public Policy at the University of Maryland, talking about efforts in the end of the Trump administration and in planning for a potential future Trump administration, and an effort by Republicans in Congress to take away some job protections for many federal civil service employees, the impact that could have. Still time for you to join in if you'd like at 800-642-1234 with your thoughts or your questions. That's 800-642-1234, or you can email ideas@WPR.org. Don, a scenario people worry about is if a president said, say, to mid-level Homeland Security officials, go take ballot boxes, go take ballot information from these four states after this election, bring them to D.C. so we can take a closer look at them. If somebody refuses to do that and points out that they can't, they could be fired and replaced with someone who is more agreeable.
I mean, Rob, that's something that certainly is a risk with the idea of removing civil service protections, because we expect government to be delivered to us regardless of the party affiliation that we may have, or whether we have any party affiliation at all. It was interesting listening to the discussion during the break there about FEMA, for example, and the delivery of services to those who have been suffering in Kentucky because of the flooding. That was not an area that was strong in favor of Joe Biden, but at the same time, we would expect that, and they certainly would expect that, if they're in trouble, that the federal government would come to the rescue with FEMA. There have been problems and discussions in the past about whether or not the declaration of disaster areas were maybe politically influenced, but we certainly would not expect that the decisions about how to come to the aid of people in trouble in this country would have in any way a reflection of how it is that they voted in the last election. And so that's just an example of the ways in which some of these issues, your example, the issue of FEMA, the issues of Kentucky disaster response, all are issues that are ones that we need to pay careful attention to, because that's the reason why we created these protections to begin with.
Can you give us a sense of how many of these federal appointments are political, because presidents can and do replace some high-level positions, versus the number that are under these civil service protections?
Yeah, that's a great question. And the basics are this, that there are, of course, cabinet officials and sub-cabinet officials, deputy secretaries and assistant secretaries, but all in all, including confidential assistants and others, there are about 4,000 appointments that every president and the people who work for him or her have a chance to be able to make after every election. 4,000 out of 2.1 million federal employees. And so it's really not all that many. The number of political appointees that we have in this country is far higher than in countries like the United Kingdom, where it's just the prime minister and the cabinet secretaries are replaced after elections or new governments are formed. So they're at one extreme, and we're pretty much at the other extreme about the number of political appointees. But the biggest basic problem here is that there's just no president in recent memory who's been very good at filling all those positions at the same time, that there's just a constant effort. And about the time they get finished filling the positions that are available, they have to start all over again because people begin leaving the administration as well. And then there's the trickle out at the end of each presidential term too as well. So even with the 4,000 people the presidents have, there's been a difficult time filling those positions anyway. So if we made it 10,000, 20,000, 50,000, 75,000, if we had even a random collection of people who are being considered for dismissal because of whatever reason that somebody may be interested in removing them, it's just multiplies the difficulty we already have of making sure that we're staffed up and ready to go.
Let's bring on a caller now. Marion is with us in Crystal Lake, Illinois. Marion, hi.
Hi. My comment is that I think it's absolutely ridiculous to try to eviscerate the civil service. We need more competent people, people who base their decisions on experience, on education, on thoughtfulness, a lot more than we need people who base their decisions on politics.
Marion, thanks a lot for the call. And Don, I mean, we keep hearing about polarization. Is this a dying breed, people we can count on for competence as opposed to partisan inclination?
Well, it's a difficult issue, and it's an issue that's become more and more partisan is because as we've gotten deeper and deeper into polarization. But the problems are this. First, that there are some issues that are incredibly complex and require high levels of technical expertise. Even the process of taking a look at x-ray machines to see whether or not you're smuggling something you shouldn't through your luggage in airport security, I mean, that requires a fairly high level of technical training. The FBI has highly trained people who have the kind of skills that are needed for law enforcement and for the kind of investigations on everything from explosives to bank robbers. And we have that to try to deal with. The Secret Service, among other things, is in charge of trying to intercept counterfeit bills. And most of us are not that good at finding really good counterfeiters. So putting all this together, it really does require a fair amount of technical expertise. And it's not to say that there aren't lots of people who get hired sometimes because of who they know. We've got a civil service system that frankly is pretty messed up and requires some fundamental reform. But the idea of replacing that civil service with a at-will system where people can be fired because of their political leanings is something that would be incredibly dangerous.
Thanks for that call. Chris is with us now in La Crosse. Chris, hello.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to point out that the decision to remove someone because they are a poor performer or not, that's something that should be decided at a much lower level than the president or one of his or her political appointees. And so the argument that this is all about getting rid of poor performers is pretty bogus.
Thanks for the call. What do you think, Don?
There clearly are poor performers in government, and it clearly is harder to get rid of them than it should be. But we don't want cabinet secretaries whose job it is to try to make policy and to steer mega agencies like Homeland Security or Health and Human Services. We don't want them having to sit there and trying to think about whether or not that one particular person sitting out there in Eau Claire is maybe perhaps not as loyal as they should be at administering the administration's policy. So that we clearly want to, I think, have those kind of protections. We need to focus on ways of trying to do a better job of removing poor performers, but more importantly, to try to make everybody good performers. But quite frankly, that's an issue that the private sector has as well. And I've spent some time looking around at the rate at which people in the private sector are dismissed for cause, where there is a higher level of at-will employment versus the government. And for similar industries, the differences are really not all that much. The big issues have to do with the challenges that managers have in managing well, and especially managing their people well. And that's something that government needs to do better, but something which the private sector struggles with as well.
Time for one more caller. Nathaniel is with us in Campbellsport. Nathaniel, hi.
Hi. A friend of mine and I were talking last night, kind of wondering about the Republican Party's recent interest in Viktor Orban and Hungary. And my buddy had read something online, some sort of analysis of that, and we were just talking about this last night. I can't believe you're talking about this now. That was basically the playbook that they were learning from Viktor Orban. He was just speaking in Texas last week with Trump. So I just wanted the guests thoughts on that. Thank you.
Nathaniel, thanks for the call. And Don, people have suggested that taking away these civil service protections would take away one, I guess, bulwark against authoritarianism and a slide like we're seeing in Hungary. Is that overstating it?
No, I don't think so, because there's a reason why we created the civil service. There's a reason why we've had it for 140 years. There's a reason why Bob La Follette was the great reformer in Wisconsin for having created this. There's a reason why we want to have politically impartial administration of the law, because we don't want to feel that the odds that we're going to get our street plowed, that we're going to have an ambulance service when we've got difficulties, that we get our Social Security checks on time, that that's going to depend on our political affiliation or where we live. We really expect a competent, solid, nonpartisan government. And on the other hand, though, there is this movement abroad out there that is not just Trump, but involves lots of people. There are big think tanks in Washington, very well funded, advancing these issues. And as the caller pointed out, Nathaniel noted that it's happening in Hungary and elsewhere as well. These are big and fundamental questions that in many ways are sweeping the world, because they get to the basic questions about the role of political power and bureaucracy, and the role of the bureaucracy in democratic countries. So it's not surprising that we're dealing with these issues. They're things that we have to really think very carefully about, because it looks like, as you suggested at the beginning, Rob, this is an under-the-radar kind of issue, but the consequences for all of us and the consequences for democracy could be really quite extreme unless we pay careful attention to the kind of government that we want.
Don, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us.
So good to be with you.
That's Don Kettle, Professor Emeritus at the University of Maryland. We talked to them about the federal civil service and some potential threats to remove job protections and create thousands more political appointments, the impact that might have.